Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So we are in... Did I say I was good when you asked how I was?
Yes.
Okay. Just to make
sure. It's off to a rough start, Maggie.
I'm not sure if I'm good, so I'm just kidding. I'm good. We're in the middle of December. It's the holidays. If there was ever a time that is full of, I was going to say holiday cheer, but actually peer pressure is what we're talking about today. It's all around us, right? There's also a lot of holiday cheer, but with that can come a lot of peer pressure. And I personally have had this topic on my mind a lot lately, and it's because of the age of my kids. Like, do your kids ask for a lot of stuff, Mike?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Like, little stuff. Like, you're in Target and they want something off the, you know, end cap. Or, like, what do they ask for?
Well, as it relates to, like, stuff that their friends are into, it's all little toys. You know, like, they're into Pop-Its and... little stuffies that they hang on their backpacks and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're not into any brand name things yet.
I got a lot of little stuffies they can hang on their backpacks, by the way. Seriously, like piles of them. So, there's this peer pressure. And like, I think I remember that from when my kids were your age. But there's something about it that's gotten like more expensive lately, right? And I think to me, it's been on my mind lately because I've got two middle schoolers and a fifth grader. And there's more and more influences from their friends, and not just their friends, the world, social media, all sorts of, you know, they'll ask me for something. And I'm like, how do you even know about that? And they're like, oh, I saw it on, they saw a social media ad for it. And I'm like, oh my God, you're getting targeted for ads now. Also great. And so there's just influences all around us. When you're an evolved adult like us, I guess if people would classify us as that, Mike, we have... I was going to say we have like armor and ammunition to fight peer pressure, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But a kid doesn't, right? And we have to teach them, and we have to teach ourselves. I mean, I say that I have to constantly kind of re-strengthen my own resolve and wherewithal on this. We talk about lifestyle inflation a lot. We talk about keeping up with the Joneses, but just this idea of peer pressure, because I'm seeing it in my teenagers, is very top of mind. And they want to go do what their friends are doing, which is like, they're like, oh, can I go to Defy with my friends? And I'm like, okay, that's like $40 to go to Defy. And then you want money for food. And then your friends are eating out and they want to go to Chick-fil-A and they want to go to this pizza place. And then they all walk to Walgreens and waste money on a bunch of overpriced candy. And they're just, it's constantly like spending money. Everything they want to do with their friends involves spending money. And so, and they're really, do you know what's like super stylish right now? Like,
do you think I know what's super stylish right now?
With middle school girls? I don't think you do.
Definitely not.
It's stylish is the wrong word, but like
in fashion?
Athleisure. In fashion, thank you. Athleisure, particularly Lululemon. And I'm always like, you guys are still growing. Like, I would invest in some. I appreciate some Lululemon clothing. It fits great. It feels great. It lasts, you know, really long time, forever. But I'm like, when you're still growing, you don't like. I can't. It's hard for me to justify spending that much money on something for myself, let alone for someone who is only going to wear it for a year or two because they're still growing. There's all these influences because their friends have it, right? And their friends are all wearing Lululemon shorts to school. And I remember Greg will sometimes relate, and he's like, I remember really wanting a certain pair of shoes when I was a kid, you know, and they were more expensive than other types of shoes. And I think there's just all of these influences. And I think it's different when you're a kid and then you're trying to handle it as an adult and teaching your kids some lessons. And so I think we just, you know, we're talking about peer pressure today.
So I distinctly remember this from when I was a teenager. I'm curious, though, Maggie, what sort of peer pressure did you face to spend money when you were a teenager?
You know, I have a lot of memories about money. First off, I have a terrible memory in general, which I probably mentioned before. So I have very kind of loose, fuzzy memories of certain things stick out from when I was a kid, and a lot I just don't remember in detail. But I don't remember like specific things that I wanted necessarily. I just remember a feeling of having less than some of my friends. I remember one friend who their family traveled internationally on trips. And I was like, oh, we don't do that. We go to New Jersey every year to visit family and stay in a family member's house that's free, you know? And so I remember, you know, I remember some of the cars my friends got versus the car I got. And now I think about it, I'm like, gosh, I'm thankful that I was even like handed a car. I had to pay for, you know, insurance and some other things through my job, but I was handed a car. It wasn't worth as much as some of the cars my friends were handed. But I more remember just the general comparison. I don't remember like, ooh, I wanted, you know, this pair of shoes or something like that. Do you remember specifics?
Yeah, I do.
Like, what did you want? And I imagine your dad was somewhat frugal with you, or like not just buying you every single thing you wanted.
Because I knew it wasn't an option and was forced to come up with creative solutions if I wanted to fit in with whatever the fashion was. So I do remember like Fila shoes used to be super popular in middle school, and I never could find a way to buy them because they were just too expensive, and I couldn't find a way to like get them cheaper. So it was just like, it was not that I was like disappointed. Well, I guess I was a little disappointed, but I knew my parents weren't just going to buy them for me. I would spend time trying to figure out a way that I could like fit in while working within the financial system my parents had created. I remember types of rollerblades when I was in elementary school, and I remember other sorts of brands and like polo shirts and Lacoste polo shirts. Like those were really big, but I never would just go to the mall and buy them at market prices. So yeah, I do remember a lot of the specifics, but I think the difference is that you either like knew it wasn't a possibility and moved on, or you got it and then moved on. None of it was very memorable. For me, I was constantly trying to like, could I go buy like some used thing off eBay? Could I go find it used at a thrift store? Could I find something that was like it and would be able to fit in? But all through my childhood, I faced all of these pressures. Now, if they were to the same degree as everybody else, I don't know. I can tell you now, like, I do not give a shit. And I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, that's what's fascinating. Is, you mean you don't give a crap about, like, that stuff that happened? Like, you don't hold...
No, like, stuff...
Harbor.
No, stuff today.
Oh, you mean now.
Oh, yeah, I'm not, like... Yeah. I'm not, like, resentful of my parents that they didn't do something for me. I thought I had... Of all of the childhoods I could have had, I had the best. So, I feel good about it.
Yeah, which I think is a huge learning. It was kind of different than the point I know you were trying to make. But a huge learning is that, you know, I think about the stuff that I had feelings, resentful is even too strong of a word, but like that I had feelings about, of me feeling like I had less than some others and wanting more when I was a kid. When I look back now, I have nothing but the utmost of respect for how my parents raised me and what they did give me, especially considering what they had, because they weren't sitting on a lot and they still gave me a very good amount, and like we're gave up a lot of stuff for themselves to give me and my brother certain things. Mm-hmm. Like they could have had a night, they didn't have fancy cars either. Right. And so at one point I think I had the exact same car as my mom. I think she bought the same car used that I was driving in like a similar year or something, which is pretty crazy when you think about it, you know, in a good way, in a generous way. Right. And so I just think, you know, you think back for all the things we're going to talk about to like, you know, kind of stick to your own values and then help your kids learn values, and sticking to your values with your kids when there's peer pressure that they're dealing with and that we're dealing with as parents and adults in this world with a lot of influences around all of us. Just remember the feelings you feel as an adult where you don't look back on that as a negative thing. You actually look back on that as a positive thing of, I learned something in that situation. And you look, like you said, Mike, you look back and think like, I had an idyllic childhood, right? You had this great childhood where your parents were around and they were present and engaged, and your dad was super involved in all of your sports and other stuff. And so I think that's the stuff to kind of think about when you like take a step back and look at this big picture. Let's get into this topic, but you know, we're talking about peer pressure, and we, you know, I gave some kind of personal background on what's had this on my mind a lot lately. But the other thing that's had it on my mind lately is there's actually a good side of peer pressure, which we'll get into. There's a positive side of peer pressure. And Mike, you are a great example of a positive peer pressure influence in my life.
Yeah. Pressured you to quit your job.
Yeah. I didn't even mean that piece of it. But yeah, yes, that bigger, broader piece of it. But in the, I see how you're living your lifestyle and what you're able to spend. And I, at times have, I oscillate on like, you know, phases I'm going through, but I've felt pressure to be like, oh, I could live on less and still be happy. It reminds me, right? And that to me is a good kind of peer pressure, mm-hmm. right? And so let's just talk about peer pressure in general.
So peer pressure, by definition, is a feeling that one must do the same things as other people of one's age or social group to be liked or respected by them.
And within peer pressure, there's active and passive types of peer pressure. So active peer pressure is someone saying like, ooh, I want to go get a Tesla so that you can be my Bessie with a Tessie. You know that song, Mike?
Do
that
song? No, I've never heard of it.
That's a lyric from a song. My Bessie with a Tessie. Passive is me seeing that somebody else has a Tesla and then really wanting it. Just seeing it from afar and saying, ooh, I'd really like that. Versus somebody actively saying, hey, go be my Bessie with a Tessie and buy a Tesla like I have. And like I said earlier, I also believe there's what I'd call good and bad. I hate to simplify everything to good or bad or positive or negative, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot in between. But there's positive peer pressure and there's negative peer pressure. There's peer pressure to do, there's good influences around us and there's bad influences around us, right? And I think that, to me, is just kind of fascinating when you really think about it, because again, I think peer pressure as a word kind of always has a negative connotation when you hear it. I think of it, I think most people would kind of think of it as a negative thing. But I think there's a lot of positive things that can come from that.
Let me give an example of positive peer pressure. My kids have joined the Cub Scouts, which is now available to girls, and I volunteered as a den leader. And I'm going to our first meeting tonight with the den, and I'm going to put some massive peer pressure on people to volunteer and start committing some time to this, because so far I'm the only one.
That's actually a really good example. And that's one that's in the middle, because, and I love that example, Mike. And I say it's in the middle. Do you know why I'm saying it's in the middle?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's in the middle because I'll just like elaborate on this. So I spend a lot of time volunteering, and I've been in a lot of I've been the PTA president and I've led a lot of different things where I'm having to recruit and seek other volunteers like you need to do for the Cub Scouts. What do they call it? Cub Scouts now?
Yeah, Cub Scouts.
And so I spend a lot of time in roles like that. And I'm always super cautious because I will put a lot of pressure on people, and I'll remind people that we can't do this if we don't get more volunteers. I'm like, literally, we won't have this event if we don't get enough people volunteering. But I'm also super sensitive to, there are many parents who can't volunteer, are not in a position to be able to volunteer. They're working two jobs. They're incredibly, like, they're already on the break of, you know, they're just at a breaking point. Like, they've got a lot of kids, they're dealing, you know, and I'm very sensitive to different people at different points in their lives. And like, there's a lot of people who can volunteer and have the time. And those are the people who I want to step up or can make the time and reprioritize the time. And then there's people who really, truly can't. And it's not a healthy addition to their life, if that makes sense. And so I'm always trying to like toe the line of like putting pressure on people, but also being like, look, if you can't, I get it. And then there's a whole other category of people who can't because they're kind of choosing not to prioritize it, but they make ridiculous money. And so I'm always like, look, if you don't have time to give, but you have money to give, we'll take that too, because that can help us with other things we need to do. And so anyways, just a side rant of my beliefs on pushing people to volunteer, which I also do. Okay, so within peer pressure, we talk a lot about, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, lifestyle inflation, but like the concept of keeping up with the Joneses, like, don't you think that's peer pressure? I can't think of what else is if that's not.
Yeah, I think, well, it depends on what your motivation is. If you are doing it because you want them to like you, or you think that doing it will cause them to like you, that's peer pressure, right? But if you are doing it because you think it will make you happy, that's just, I think that's something different.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's a choice at that point. That's a value-based choice or an intentional decision. And so I think that is the difference, is whether you're doing it for external reasons, or not even just for someone to like you, but just that you kind of want to generally fit in. It may not be one person you're trying to impress, but it might be like, oh, I live in this neighborhood. Everybody drives fancy cars. Right. I don't feel comfortable, you know, rolling through with my 2003 Ford Explorer. That's an example for you, Mike, because I think you're one of a few people in your neighborhood driving a 2003 Ford Explorer.
You're right. I am.
But to your point, the causes of peer pressure can be a need to fit in and, you know, want to feel liked by other people. It could be that you just have really low self-esteem and again, are needing to feel like you're fitting in as a result of that. It could be a fear of rejection. A lot of times it can come from a need to kind of feel safety and security from your peers. And so, you know, like we were talking about, peer pressure kind of, some people say, is most commonly found in teenagers, like 12 to 19 years old is what some research suggests. But I'd argue it continues way past that. I think that's when it starts, mm-hmm. is, and actually that perfectly lines up with when I'm starting to see it start in my own kids.
Yeah. But it gets much more expensive as you get older, because your kids are wanting Lululemon pants, which are $50, $100.
Oh, no. Idea. Yeah, $120 bucks a pop.
$120 for pants? Anyway, don't get me started on this.
$118.
As you get older, it becomes a car and then a house. And you're talking mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of dollars, not $100.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There's probably a direct line and correlation between the age and the cost of the peer pressure, if you will.
$118 for
$118. Pants. Also jackets, same price, like a thin windbreaker. I mean, it is very
Get these hand-me-downs when they grow out of them?
No, it's funny. Your wife made a comment about that. When that stuff goes...
Of course
goes,
she did.
When that stuff goes... She was like, I can't wait to get the hand-me-downs. And I was like, oh, when that stuff goes, that gets resold. Because mm-hmm. you can resell that stuff on Poshmark for like at least half the value. So you at least recoup like $60. Sometimes
oh,
even
well, if
more.
It's a net $60 expense,
yeah, then it seems that's way yeah, better, totally right? Reasonable. Exactly. Like you're saying, it's a net $60. So let's talk about the good kind of peer pressure. You just gave an example of the Cub Scouts. We'll give some additional examples to just kind of remind people that there's a positive side of peer pressure before we get into some tips and recommendations for how you deal with peer pressure overall. But look, I think, you know, the idea of peer pressure is not to make anyone feel bad or weak or not being able to kind of deal with it. We all want to feel accepted and valued by others. It's the way that we are wired as humans. And it takes courage and confidence to buck the trend. And I think about, you know, the change I've made in my lifestyle, or not in my lifestyle, in my life, with leaving a high paying, high prestige job that, you know, I worked really hard to get to. That was bucking the trend. And it feels, there are times that it feels like I notice the way it feels to me when I have to talk about it, or just the way it feels, right? And I'm still early in the feels stage. I'm at about maybe 6-7 month mark now. And so I think it's important to kind of be able to recognize that it is normal to feel peer pressure. It means you are a human and not a robot, and you are feeling normal emotions. But there is an angle of the positive side of it, right? And that good peer pressure that we're talking about. And even some kind of middle of the road or not negative peer pressure, but what I'd say like pressure to spend money and stuff like that, and pressure that we were talking about with our kids, can still have some positive effects, right? It can bring you a sense of belonging or support. It can increase your self-confidence. It might get you into learning new hobbies and interests and other things. But ultimately, I want there to be more good kinds of peer pressure in my life. And I think Phi and Fire are great, big, they're big examples, not little examples, but big, audacious goal type of examples of the positive effects and the positive types of peer pressure. Because again, it's pressuring me to live a more value-based, intentional lifestyle. And I think that is the uber good kind of peer pressure in my life, which is why I, you know, early on, Mike said, you know, you're an example of that. And it's not the quitting my job per se, but it's being thoughtful about how I spend my money so that that can then afford me to have more freedom in my life.
So if you think about all the things that people intuitively know to be good, applying a little pressure on your peers to participate or increase those activities, it can be a good thing. So it could be eating healthier, could be spending more time with your kids, it could be working a little bit less of your demanding job, could be saving a little bit more, giving a little bit more to charity. Now, Maggie, to your point about my me pressuring the parents to participate in Cub Scouts, you're absolutely right. How you apply peer pressure to people is an important part of this. But like the Cub Scouts are, it is made to be, you do all the activities, parent and child. It's not like a drop-off babysitter thing. So, you know, you're right. My approach might not be as gentle as other people's. What I will be pushing for, or what you'd be pushing for if you want somebody to go vegan or to give more money to charity, these are things that we know to be good. And as long as you can find a good middle ground on how you are doing that and not make people feel bad, but drive them to better behavior, I think that's what we're talking about here on good peer pressure.
Yeah, totally. I love that you just said drive them to better behavior, because even using the volunteer example, volunteering and giving back to your community, engaging with your children and their friends and your smaller community, it has tons of positive effects for you and your child and your community. And so that's a good example of, you know, I do think that falls into, you know, the positive peer pressure in a good way. And I think another, you mentioned charitable giving. Liz Gets Loaded, who we got to mention on every single episode.
Multiple times on every episode.
She has a couple of episodes and talks a lot about charitable giving. That's a good kind of peer pressure. Like, I like her content on that because it reminds me how important that is in my budgeting and spending and just in what I care about, right? And sometimes I used to be very aggressive, and I took my foot off the pedal at times when I was on an aggressive goal to get to FIRE. But again, that's an influence I need in my life to remind me that that is something that matters to me.
And speaking of Liz Gets Loaded, just as a test to see if she's listening to all these episodes, I would encourage her not to buy that Peloton rower she's been talking about on Instagram repeatedly. So let's see if she how she responds to this pressure.
I encouraged her to buy it.
Of course you did.
But look, she doesn't
Life's too short, Liz.
That's what I said. She doesn't have kids. She makes good money. She's still working. She doesn't want to quit anytime soon. And she's got the money for it. Like, it in no way impacts... It just in no way impacts her like negatively for her goals and her current financial situation. If she couldn't afford it, I would be giving very different advice. But we think All right. a little bit differently there. Okay. Anyways. Okay. Bye, Liz. So, but the spirit and the whole reason we started this podcast, do you remember why we started this podcast, Mike? I do.
To peer pressure friends to talk about money with each other.
Basically, yeah. Put it that way. We never use the word peer pressure. But yeah, we both, Mike and I, started realizing the benefits of talking to each other about money and what we were gaining from it, and thought like we want more, like more people should talk about money. People treat it as such a taboo topic. They don't talk openly enough about it. And so we wanted to encourage more people to talk to their friends about money, hence the name Friends on Fire. And so I believe talking to your friends about money is a good form of peer pressure if you do it appropriately. So it's back to that Cub Scouts example of wanting to, you know, it's in the how you talk about it that's important. But being able to have open discussions with your friends about money is so important. And it can be the type of peer pressure that's super motivating and encouraging And to me, that's kind of the sweet spot for, you know, what is good peer pressure, is that it is motivating and encouraging. And I think you said making you be better. What was the word term you used, Mike, just a second ago?
I don't remember. We both have terrible
memory. I can't remember it, but something about being better.
Driving for better behavior?
Driving for better behavior. There you go. And I give you a good example too. You've done this, and I mentioned when you first started convincing me to start expense tracking, and you showed me your own expenses, and we've been very transparent with each other about our expense tracking. It's really helpful, and it's a good kind of peer pressure to see yours and to actually see another person's. And there's a couple we met at Camp Fi that what we really like, and we've gotten a chance to catch up with them once since Camp Fi. But after Camp Fi, we were talking about something about like their cost of living, and they've already retired and they're a little bit younger than us. And he shared their expense tracking from like the last year, because I was so impressed by like the amount they were able to live on. And he sent me like the monthly breakdown by category. And I was like, that's so cool to see. Not quite where we have more kids and just a different lifestyle. But it's super helpful and influential in a good way to see where someone's able to get, because it motivates me to say, oh, what can I do to get closer to that? While still being within my own financial goals and my own values of what I think is important to me, which is a little bit different for everybody. And that is okay. That's why it's called personal finance. But I just love like a friend sharing their budget worksheet with you. That's a great kind of peer pressure, especially if you asked for it.
Yeah.
It'd be different if I did a podcast about how much I spent in 2022, which is really high, Mike.
I know.
And we'll talk about that in 2023. When we do a podcast on it, and then someone
expect
sending
some peer
me a
pressure
like,
for me on that. Did,
yeah, yeah. Someone be like, how'd you spend so much? Here's mine. I spent a quarter what you spent. Okay.
So let's talk about some strategies you can employ to handle negative peer pressure. I think the first thing, and this is a common theme for a lot of topics we bring up on like the more philosophical side, is that just understanding your feelings and what's happening is a big part of solving them. So as you get the inclination to spend money or change your behavior, think about how you are feeling and what is driving that. And you're probably going to recognize that it's peer pressure, and you're probably going to recognize that it's for the wrong reasons. And so just being aware of your feelings is going to be the biggest thing that you can do in this area.
Yeah, I agree. That is that's the Uber solution here, or the Uber tactic, to give you the strength and resolve. Another little tip is to plan ahead. And so this is a little example, but I believe these little things add up to bigger dollar amounts and bigger lifestyle changes that you didn't mean and that you didn't mean to make and that you didn't intentionally make. So I'll give an example of planning ahead. If you always go to like a movie night with another family and they let their kids get whatever they want at the snack bar, which is like really expensive at the movies. Mm-hmm. My family, we would easily drop over $100 if everybody went and was just like, you know, getting whatever they wanted from the refreshment stand. I can't think what the word is for refreshment stand.
None of it's that refreshing, ironically.
Wherever they sell things. Popcorn is delicious. But you could pack some special snacks in advance, like not the things your kids aren't going to be excited about, but like you might have gone to the dollar store and gotten everyone some Sour Patch Kids or something that they're going to be excited about, and brought them into the movies. And so I guess, yes, I am breaking the rules here because you're not supposed to do that. But let's be honest, everybody does it. You could do that. So then when your kids are kind of feeling a little bummed out that they're not able to do that, you're like, oh, no, don't worry, I brought you some snacks. Right. And that's an example of planning ahead, because if you just showed up there and you're like, I have nothing for my kids to eat, you're going to feel peer pressure to buy them something because the other family you're with has made a decision to buy them stuff. Right. And so
included in the planning ahead, let your kids know what the plan is. So if you know you're not going to buy them snacks, tell them you're not going to buy them snacks. And then you can have that argument at home when there aren't other kids around for them to be disappointed or embarrassed about.
Yeah,
this is what I do all the time.
That's actually a great tip, because I don't know if your kids are like this, but I've noticed the older my kids get, the more communication they require. They really want to know what's going to happen, which makes sense. They want to know what's going to happen. They want to just have a clear view. And so, yeah, it may not be an argument, but it might just be that you have the time at home to lay out the rationale and the reasons, which I frequently do. I'm like, hey, look, we take you guys on like 6 week trips to Europe, but we are frugal in other areas of our life as a result. And they always, every time we talk about how we prioritize travel and experiences and other things, they get it because they're in, I mean, they happen to have a unique situation of being in blended families where they actually see the other half of their family, not just their friends' families. And they say, oh yeah, I get that that's something special we get to do at your house, that you take us on all these like really cool trips. And so, yeah, communicating that ahead of time, I think, is clutch and really changes the dynamic for you and them.
Next tip is to have a candid conversation with the person who's pressuring you. You can tell them something isn't in your budget or tell them how it makes you feel. And I have this interaction every Wednesday when I go into the office because we have lunch provided on Wednesdays, one day a week. And it's like a sandwich or a salad. It's really good. I like
it. But it's free.
It's free.
It's free, right?
And every Wednesday, somebody asks me to go to lunch. And I'd be like, so you want to like go down and get a sandwich and then like eat in the lobby? And they're like, no, we want to go out. But I'm like, it's a free sandwich. Why would I go spend money? And I'd have this like inquisitive stare like I like to give you sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And almost all the time, people be like, yeah, you're right. Let's just get the free sandwich and hang out here.
Or come back on Thursday and then let's go out to lunch. But yeah, no, that's a great example. And that's a little example, but there's big examples where someone may be trying to plan a big joint family vacation. And at some point you may have to say like, hey, that's just not in our budget.
Yeah.
And
I can't really stay at the Four Seasons with you. Yeah. I need to find a cheaper hotel. It's okay.
Yeah, we want to go. And maybe you find a way where like, hey, we still want to go on the trip, but we can't stay there. And then another tip is at some point, I know there are certain people in your life that you may not be able to have a candid and honest and respectful discussion with, and you might just need to make up an excuse to get out of a particular thing that you don't want to spend, not necessarily can't even afford to do, but don't want to prioritize spending the money to do. And so don't feel like you have to change everyone around you and convince them that, you know, of your reasons and your rationale. Some people won't understand it and won't get it, and that is okay. All you can control is yourself, and you should just focus on what gets you through that situation. And again, I'm not saying to like lie all the time, but there are times where there is such thing as a white lie where you don't have to get into all the details with someone. You can just say, hey, we're not able to do that, right? And make up some excuse. You'd be like, I'm sorry, I've got a conflict, whatever, but we can't do that. And that's okay. You can make your own decisions about what makes sense for you and your family. And you don't have to do things that you don't want to do.
The next tip is to set boundaries and know when to say no. And if you're dealing with a friend, like a real friend, then you might need to set a boundary once and they will learn and respect it. If you are interacting with like a set of friends that you're not that close with, they might continue to pressure you to do something, and setting boundaries like repeatedly is what you're going to need to do. But in most cases, like in this family trip example, if you told people, listen, I can't afford that hotel, I'm going to find someplace cheaper, the next time your family is planning that trip, they're going to find a less expensive hotel because they respect your feelings on this matter. And so setting boundaries, like in all areas of your life, is going to be a key part to maintaining the values that you set out when it's spent for spending money.
So Mike, those are a few different ways that people can help to mitigate some of the negative or bad peer pressure that's around them. But let's actually flip the script and say, how do we actually find more of the good kind of peer pressure and get that into our life so that we're not constantly having to say no to things and put ourselves in awkward positions where we just constantly have to kind of fight peer pressure that we don't want to be around? I think the first one that we talk about often with the power of community is to surround yourself with more of the people that you really want to emulate. Right. So you've heard that term, you're the sum of the people that you surround yourself with. I love that they use the word sum, because in this case, costs can really add up. If you surround yourself with people that are very focused on materialism or acquiring more and more and more, and I just think the people you are around are going to have one of the biggest influences with you, and you can choose to surround yourself with more of the people that you want to emulate and less of the people who are putting the kind of bad peer pressure into your life.
And this also goes for larger communities and social media friends as well. So you can find people who share your values and that you can interact with and that will provide you the best kind of peer pressure on Instagram and Facebook and other social media platforms. You can find larger communities or organizations that you share values with that will constantly provide you with the beneficial kind of peer pressure. So it's not just your close friends and family that you should be careful about, which you should, that's the most important. But all of the people that you are connected with in your life are going to play some part in this, and you're going to be able to find those people who you share values with.
Yeah, like I have a few friends on social media that are have very different values about money than I do and are constantly posting about like crazy stuff that they're doing. And the thing is, it doesn't really faze me or pressure me, and I can kind of just like slides off my back. But if it did pressure me, I can, you can change your filters and your settings on social media to not have, you don't have to totally block those people, but you know how you can like change your settings to basically deprioritize those people in your feed. And then that way you won't have that, you know, in your face every day, because it's not helpful, right? It's like a silly example, but it's like when you walk into Target, all the stuff they put on the end caps, it's because they're trying to merchandise and market to you that stuff, right? And so like, avoid the end caps, right? Change what's on the end caps in your social media life so that you're not constantly seeing the pressure you don't want in your life and that you're seeing more of the good pressure that you want. Start following all the people who are, you know, influencers around budgeting and living an intentional lifestyle and value-based spending and things like that.
And the last point on this, going back to our advice about understanding your feelings and recognizing when you're facing peer pressure, it's like, as you get better at this, you will know the people in situations that are going to trigger this the most. And you should try to avoid those as much as possible. And so if going on vacation with your friends is what triggers you to spend money, you should try to limit those situations if it ends up making you feel uncomfortable. If going out in social events for certain groups of people or at certain places is what triggers you and leads you to feel bad about yourself, start limiting those interactions, but you have to recognize your feelings in these situations.
Yeah, this is, I keep using Target examples, but this is the same thing as like, I try not to walk into Target. I know Target. I know when I do an online order and I pick it up, I just get the things I need at Target. I know when I walk in Target, Target is just full of really good merchandising that I don't need in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I avoid
Target
walking in.
And the internet. If you can just avoid those two, you would spend so little money.
But then they can't listen to our podcast if they avoid the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're on the interwebs. Okay. So just to bring this full circle, we talked in the beginning about what inspired this, and it's some budding teenagers in my house. But just a reminder that like it's hard enough for adults to do this. Imagine if you are a teenager that is still developing and going through, you know, a lot of hormones and changes in your life. It's a whole nother beast and a whole nother thing to face. And so with teenagers and kids specifically, just a little bit of thoughts and advice in addition to what we've already shared is, you know, give them opportunities to earn money themselves through allowance, through chores, through eventually, as they get even older, having jobs themselves. And then let them manage that money and make that decision themselves with guidance from you on reminding them what things cost and what they need to plan for and other things, because kids need boundaries set for them, right? It's hard for them to learn without boundaries set. Mike, some of the stories that you and I both told at the beginning, those were boundaries that our parents set. Some of them because they had to, they didn't have a choice in terms of what they had financially, and some of them because they wanted to, because they were trying to teach us lessons. I'm 99% sure your dad could afford those Filas. He was teaching you boundaries. He was, right? He was teaching you financial lessons, which, right, I think is so important. And we're just noticing that in our house, that when we give, the kids really want independence. They want clear communication on what's happening, all these different things that are developing. But when you start to give them the independence and the education of, hey, you want to go do that thing, you want to keep going to this pizza place every Friday night when we don't even eat out as a family every Friday night. So you're wanting to go do things with your friends that we're not even prioritizing spending our money on as a family. You're going to have to do that with your own money. And they're responding to that, and they're amping up their motivation to earn money and to follow through with doing what they're supposed to do to earn their allowance and taking on extra chores. And they're much more cognizant of how much money's in their bank account and all these other things. And so I just would encourage people, especially with kids, to use the concept of peer pressure, right? You don't need to just tell your kid, you can't tell a kid like, just don't cave into peer pressure. That's not a solution for a kid, right? That's a solution for like a robot, right? You can code them to say, do not compute peer pressure. But you like my robot voice, Mike? Mm-hmm. But you can't do that to a kid. And so you've got to teach them and bring them along on this journey. And remember, it's hard for adults to do this. So be gentle and kind with your kids and coach them and bring them along on this journey, which is easier said than done when you're dealing with teenagers and adolescents and hormones and all that.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you have some sort of desire for some degree of financial independence or financial freedom. And so if you flip the script and change your mindset and don't think about avoiding peer pressure as some sort of sacrifice in your life, but as you running your own race and being aligned with your values and working towards a life that is meaningful to you, all of this stuff becomes a lot easier. You recognize your feelings, you understand the pressure that's being faced, and then you just don't care about it because you are doing something completely different with your life. And that can be a very powerful motivation.
Yeah, you're right. You know your why, and you're so focused and disciplined on that. It is super powerful.
All right. Okay. Top three takeaways?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Number one, there is good and bad peer pressure.
Number two, try to find more of the good. Look, these are really insightful takeaways, guys. Mm-hmm. Yep. We really like sum this up for you.
The third one is a little more insightful. This is hard work. It's very hard for kids. It's very hard for adults. So don't beat yourself up too much if you are succumbing to peer pressure now, but continue to work hard to overcome it.
Okay. I've been buying a lot of stuff lately, Mike, for various reasons. So I'm going to, once we finish editing this episode, I'm going to listen to it myself.
Yeah.
And see if it can peer pressure me into quit buying crap.
Yeah, I didn't want to make you too self-conscious, but you've been a little spendy lately.
I have been spendy, but you know the difference? It has nothing to do with peer pressure. I have the money. I'm trying to get more comfortable actually spending money I do have and enjoying my life. And I know a few too many people who have died recently. And it's kind of like, it's like it maybe a different topic for a different day, but it's like making me have a different view of like enjoying it while I'm here and while I have it. And I'm within what I can afford to spend. And I'm doing it for things that I care about and that make me happy and or add value to my life. Like I bought a new Ruggable recently, mm-hmm. and it's in the room I'm in all day, every day, our main community area room. And the other rug was just like gross to me. It was disgusting. It had slime all over it. And it looks beautiful. It's by an artist that I have a lot of fond memories of growing up and seeing some of the art he did for MTV. And it makes me happy. And I can afford it.
All
but
right.
Anyways, I felt the need to justify my spendiness to you, because in a couple months, we're going to have an episode where I'm going to do a lot of justifying to you.
Yes. Your feedback is duly noted. I look forward
Thank
to
you.
Talking to you in a couple months.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we would love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370, or you can hit us up on Instagram. Oh, also, some peer pressure, good kind of peer pressure for all of you. Remember, it's really helpful. I know Mike just said it, super, super helpful if you leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps other people find our podcast in the magical algorithms that are out there on the interwebs that are full of peer pressure. It's all coming full circle.
All right, Maggie. Thanks. This was fun.
Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Bye.